All right, you can turn in your Bible to Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. Now, the teens are gone, but a lot of the parents aren't. And in any case, this is a subject in the Bible. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. And this is the best place to be in Mukwonago tonight. So, what a blessing. All right, Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." And then in chapter 23 of Proverbs, look at verses 13 to 16 of chapter 23. The Bible says there, "Withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with a rod, and shalt deliver his soul from hell. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things." And then look at chapter 29. Chapter 29 and verse 17. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 17. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:17. "Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul." Tonight we're going to be looking at an important aspect of child rearing. We're going to be looking at Proverbs 22:6 in general, and then we're going to be looking specifically at some aspects of what the Bible teaches about spanking. Can't cover the whole topic in one night. When I was at Fairhaven Baptist College and Fairhaven Baptist Church, Pastor Vogelin over there mentioned that when he was younger and he didn't have any children and he preached on child rearing and what the Bible taught about that, people would say, "Well, you don't have any kids. Wait till you have kids and then you'll see." And then when he had little kids and they were serving the Lord, he said, "Well, they're still little. So wait till they grow up and then you'll see that you can't really, you know, preach about this stuff the way you do." And then when they were grown up and they were living for God and they were out of the home and serving the Lord, he said, "Well," people would say, "well, you know, back in your day when you were raising them, that could be done, but now it can't be done." And so, you know, no matter what, people can always say something. So, you know, at this point in time, we haven't personally in our family done, I haven't had to, you know, put these in practice yet, but it's in the Bible. So if it's in the Bible, we've got to listen to it, whoever is talking about it. And so that is what the Bible, we're going to be looking at this subject then tonight. And so you can keep in mind what Pastor Vogelin said about that, all right? Now, Proverbs 22 and verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Now, does the Bible teach in this verse that godly parents who raise their children as they ought have a promise that their children will be saved and live for him? If they do what is right, will their children follow the Lord? Well, this text would give us the answer to that. Now, the natural and obvious reading of the passage would be that it would be a promise, and I think that it actually is for a number of reasons we're going to be looking at. Now, first of all, in verse 6, the first words there are the words "train up." Now, "train up" is a command. It's an imperative. In other words, "train thou up." This is commanded. It's not a future indicative. If you train up, it's a command. Train up. Train up your children. Train up a child in the way he should go. That is the command. And then it says, "and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Now, this isn't saying that that the child will go and live for the devil his whole life, and then when he gets old, when he's 72, he will repent and then start to do what's right after ruining his life and causing great grief. When he is old is this particular Hebrew verb in this tense. The lexicon says that it means to grow older. So the idea is, as the child grows older, he will not depart from the way of righteousness. Not that he'll go out and then at some point when he's really old he'll come back. The idea is that he'll go in the right way. The Bible compares children to arrows in the hand of a mighty man. You shoot the arrow the right way and the arrow will go in that direction. And the idea here is that as the child is being trained up in the way he should go, he will continue in the way he shall go, up even until the time that he is old. It's a continuing continuity of growth. And if you wanted to see another text that would kind of illustrate that, you don't need to turn there, but Job 14 and verse 8 illustrates the idea with the same verb that's found here when he is old in that passage. So the command, it says, commanded here, the parents are commanded to train up their children, and they're commanded to train them up in spiritual and ethical righteousness, and then we are told that when they are old, they will not depart from it. Now, where it says here, it says, train up a child in the way he should go. And sometimes people say, well, this is talking about job skills. Like you give him a lot, you teach him how to be an airline mechanic. And that's, you know, a great thing if you can teach your child that. Or you teach him whatever, you teach him some skill, you teach him how to have a nursery business, you teach him how to do whatever, and he'll do that well. But that's not what this is talking about either. It's a command for moral or ethical righteousness. Train him up in the way he should go here. The verb train up is actually, in other texts, it's translated dedicate, or rather the idea of consecration to Jehovah. So you're training up, you're dedicating, you're consecrating your child to the Lord in spiritual righteousness. So the way he should go is a way of spiritual righteousness, and not just some kind of job skills or something like that. So the way he should go is the way of holiness. And also you can see that it's the way of holiness, not just some sort of other way, because the verb depart, when he is old, he will not depart from it. The verb depart is when it's found elsewhere in Proverbs, it's found a whole bunch of times in Proverbs, and it's always used of a spiritual or ethical departure. It's not a morally neutral departure. It's not departing from the church building when the service is over. It's not departing from your house to go to work. It's a spiritual or ethical departure. And here it says that he will not depart from this way of righteousness. In other words, the verb depart is used in Proverbs of the righteous departing from evil in Proverbs chapter 3 and 13 and 14 and 16. It's used of departing from the snares of death in Proverbs. It's used of departing from hell. This is a way of spiritual righteousness. So as the child is trained in the way of spiritual righteousness, in the way of holiness, he will not depart from that way of spiritual or ethical righteousness. Now, we have some other texts that are very similar that kind of illustrate what's involved in Proverbs 22 and verse 6. For example, take a look at 1 Kings 22 and verse 43. And we have a text that kind of shows what the idea is here with some parallels, linguistic parallels. 1 Kings 22 and verse 43. 1 Kings 22, 43 says, and he walked, this is the king of Israel, Jehoshaphat, and he walked in all the ways of Asa his father. He turned not aside from it, doing that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Nevertheless, the high places were not taken away, for the people offered and burnt incense in the high places. And by the way, that last part, the last part of the failure there, where they didn't take away the high places, wasn't Jehoshaphat's fault. If you look in 2 Chronicles 20, it says, yet the people had not prepared their hearts unto the God of their fathers. So the people still wanted to do this, but Jehoshaphat was a godly man, walking in the ways of his godly father. Look at 2 Kings chapter 22 and verse 2. 2 Kings chapter 22 and verse 2. Second Kings 22 and verse 2 says, speaking about Josiah, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. So that illustrates what the way is in Proverbs 22:6. It's the way of righteousness, and he's not departing from it. He's not turning aside from it. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 32. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 32 is another verse that says, has the same kind of terminology as Proverbs 22:6. So 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 32. Here this is Jehoshaphat again. And it says, and he walked in the way of Asa his father and departed not from it, doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord. So here he walked in the way of righteousness and didn't depart from the way of righteousness. And 2 Chronicles 34 and verse 2 is another illustration. 2 Chronicles 34 and verse 2 says, "And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left." So in Proverbs 22:6, and you can go back there, Proverbs 22:6 is talking about the way of righteousness and not departing from the way of righteousness. It's similar to those texts there, where they weren't departing from this ungodly way. They're walking in the right way, not departing from it. So Proverbs 22:6 tells us then that a child who is trained up in the way he should go will not depart from the way of righteousness. And every time, furthermore, another thing that would indicate that this is actually a promise from God here is that when this verb, the verb "will not depart" in the future tense here, whenever God is making the statement that something will not depart, it's actually a certainty. That there's 40 verses or so where "will not depart" in the future, and it's God speaking, and it's always something that's certain. So this is actually something that's certain here. And so this is indeed telling us that when a child is trained up in the way he should go, and God commands it here, train up, when that takes place, he will not depart from it, even when he is old. And there are other texts that relate to this also. If you take a look at Proverbs 29 and verse 17, which we read already, but Proverbs 29 and verse 17, another verse that will relate to this, promises for godly child rearing. Proverbs 29 and verse 17 says, "Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul." So here, when he's corrected, that's going to happen. He's going to give you rest and delight to your soul. Or Proverbs 23, 13 and 14, which you read already again. Proverbs 23, 13 to 14. Another command. "Withhold not," is a command, "correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with a rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell." So here, there's a promise that the proper discipline, and it will deliver his soul from hell. So with a future tense there. So other verses, the Bible says that the rod and reproof will give wisdom, not have foolishness near his heart. It'll be far from him. And so there's other texts like this. And the fact that these are indeed things that we can actually count on and take to the bank is also illustrated in the New Testament, where in 1 Timothy 3, for example, the pastor is required to have faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. And that's actually a moral qualification, just like blamelessness or in being not given to much wine. The faithful children requirement is actually a requirement. It's actually a moral requirement for the pastor, just like blamelessness or like not or being sober. So, and now there it's specifically a command, it's a requirement for the pastor, but it's also something moral for any other person. That's if you want to be blameless, that part of that is having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. That's part of actually being blameless as a godly person. So we have verses like that as well. And a child can't be faithful unless he actually, you know, has faith as well. So faith and faithfulness go hand in hand. Now, certainly an ungodly child is responsible for his own wickedness, but the parents are responsible for improper training that leads to that. And that is actually the case. So we have the fact that even it's a qualification for the pastorate that would show that this is actually something that the parents have a lot for. Now, So Proverbs 22:6 is something that we can actually count on. And if you raise your children properly, praise God, you can actually take this to the bank and say that your children will not depart from the way of righteousness. What a blessing that is. And that is a wonderful promise from the Lord. Now, and that should be something that parents, you can be real excited about that. I mean, that's great. What a blessing that is the case. Now, how does this relate, this general promise in Proverbs 22? Let's relate this to the specific question of spanking, of discipline. First of all, let's look at some of the commands for spanking. Look at Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 18. Commands for spanking. Who is commanded to spank. Is spanking commanded? Or is it just, you know, like whether you like a certain hockey team? Is it something like that, or is it something that's actually commanded in the Bible? Well, it is clearly commanded in the Bible. So here, Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 18, the Bible says, "Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying." So here's a command. There's a command right here, chasten thy son. God doesn't leave it as an option. God doesn't say, maybe if you feel like it, because you probably don't feel like it. But it's commanded. Chasten thy son. That's not an option. Now, notice it also says, thy son. So discipline, the spanking is something that God commands parents to do with their children. You chasten your son. So if you're a parent, especially if you're a father, you are commanded to chasten your children while there is hope. When they sin, you're commanded by God to spank them. God requires that of you. It's not an option. It's not, you know, whatever. It's actually something he tells you to do. You are commanded to chasten your son. Notice also the verse says, chasten thy son while there is hope. So there's a specific period of time when you can claim Proverbs 22:6. Now, if you maybe were not saved when you had your children or whatever, or maybe you didn't know what the Bible said, you weren't doing it right for a while, you know, God is a merciful God. And you can, as you start putting in practice what the Bible says, God can still bless you, and you can still end up having your children raised for God. Even if you didn't, your children are out of the house. God is still a merciful God. He can save people even when they're old. Praise the Lord for that. What a blessing that is. But if you want to have it as a guarantee, then there's a specific period of time. You can't just put off practicing what the Bible says and expect there's not going to be any consequences. So it says here, you chasten thy son while there is hope. There's a period of time when you can actually take some of these promises and count on them up for sure. And then there's time when you just have to count on God being merciful. And he's a very merciful God. But there's a period of time here. This is not when you have children and they're growing up. This is every single day. You need to be putting in practice what the Bible says. There's a period of time while there is hope, and that period of time can go away. You don't want it to go away. Chasten thy son, parents, thy son, while there is hope, while you can claim the promise of 22:6. And it says, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Now, you're going to want to stop because you don't want to hurt your kid. I mean, it's not fun. It's a terrible thing. My mom would say, when she would spank me, this hurts me more than it hurts you. And I didn't believe her at the time, okay? But I said, no, it doesn't. No, that's not the case. But you don't, that's not something, an enjoyable thing. You know, if you, that would be really strange. If you just liked spanking, it was just fun. You just looked forward to it. That'd be real, I don't know about that, okay? But you're commanded to do it. It's a command. Do not let your soul, do not let your inward person spare because of his crying. Don't stop because he's crying. Don't disobey Scripture because of, you know, your feelings. Live by faith, not by your feelings, and chasten him while there is hope, and don't let your soul spare for his crying. You don't let it spare. You're persistent. You're consistent. Consistency and persistency are very important in spanking. You're not practicing what the Bible says if you do it once in a while, and then other times you just let things go. That's actually going to provoke your child to wrath. He needs to know where the boundaries are. He needs to know if I sin in this way, I will get spanked every time. There needs to be consistency. There needs to be persistency despite maybe it's late at night, you want to go to bed. Don't let your soul spare. You need to be persistent and consistent no matter what the situation is if you want to be able to claim some of these promises from the Lord. So chasten thy son, command. You parents do this while there is hope. Don't let your soul spare for his crying. So there's one verse. So the command for spanking, the responsibility is given to the parents. You parents, as God gave you the kids, God commands you to do this. It's not an option. Then, if you'll take a look at Proverbs 23 again, Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 13, Proverbs 23 verse 13 and following, looking at this part, this passage here, the Bible says, withhold not correction from the child. So here again, this is a command. It's actually an urgent command in Hebrew. This is a command. Do not withhold this from your child. If you do not consistently, regularly, and faithfully spank your children when it's biblically mandated, you are withholding correction. You are holding back something that that child needs. Do not withhold this from your child. Do not harm him by not spanking him. Do not withhold this. Withhold not correction from your child. So here again, you can see the consistency required. You have to be doing it regularly so he knows where the boundaries are. He knows what's going to get him the spanking. Do not withhold that correction from your child. Notice that when you think of withholding something from a child, you think you're depriving him of something. Okay? You wouldn't withhold food from your child. That would be it. This is terrible. We would never withhold food from it. If let's say your child was on the teen campout and they withheld food from him the whole week. Whoa, would you be mad? Okay? That would not be acceptable if some person took your kid and withheld something from him. Well, the Bible says here, if you don't spank him, you are withholding something important from him. You are taking away from your child something he needs. Don't withhold correction from your child. Give him what he needs. Withhold not correction from the child. So it's actually, the world says, you know, spanking is abuse. It's now giving him Ritalin and giving him to a psychologist and letting him get on drugs and letting him ruin his life and whatever, that's not abusive. But spanking him is abusive. That's what the world says. It shows how messed up they are. But the Bible says the other way around. You don't spank them, that's abusive. You're withholding something your child needs when you refuse to spank your child. And notice here it says, withhold not correction from the child. You're doing this, it's not about you, it's about your child and about the glory of God. It's about God because he commands it. Even if it didn't have anything to do with your child turning out for God, which it does in an incredible way, even if it didn't, it'd be right because God says to do it. He says to do it, it's right, you're glorifying God. So it's about God, and it's about your child. Withhold not correction from your child. So it's not about you. You don't, it's not a biblical method of spanking if whenever your child finally gets on your nerves, then when you get mad and it's about you, then, oh, you go and you spank him. Well, then you're going to be doing it out of anger instead of out of love. You're not going to be doing it for the glory of God. It's a selfish thing. It's when he bugs me to the point that I'm bothered and it's all about my feelings and what I want, then I'm going to spank him. That's more I'm a big bully than I'm a loving father chastening my child out of hope. So it's about God and it's about your child. It's not about you and your feelings. It's about obedience to the Lord, living by faith and love for your child. So you withhold not correction from your son. You do it because you love him. And you're doing it for the glory of God. And so that's your motive. That's going to prevent you from doing it in the wrong way. Just doing it out of anger. You're doing it out of love for God and for the child. And then, notice it says in that verse, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Now, beatest him with a rod. Notice the object there. What do you use for administering discipline? You use a rod, the Bible says. It doesn't say use your hand. It doesn't say you use, I don't know, a 2x4 or a baseball or something. Or microwave, I don't know. A rod, okay? Not some crazy thing that could cause him permanent damage, and not something that actually can't hurt once he gets older, like your hand. You can't actually do it. And you don't really, do you really want your child to associate your hands with pain instead of with affection? You want your child, if you raise your hand, to be happy. My dad's going to give me a hug, not, dad's going to hit me. Okay? So you use the rod. Every single time we see something used, it's always the rod. So you use a rod, because that's what the Bible says. Use a rod. Don't use something else. And it says, beatest him with a rod. Now, that's a pretty strong thing, beatest him with a rod. The word translated beat there is the word used for striking or smiting in other situations. Now, strike or smite, actually, in Scripture, often, like when God said, smite the Amalekites, it meant make them die. You smite them so that they die. Now, here, there's actually, I think, maybe even a play on that. Here, you beat him, you smite him with a rod, and he doesn't die. He actually is spared from death because you smite him with a rod, because you beat him with a rod. So instead of him dying, he will not die. A promise there if you beat him with a rod. Now, And you can see, now obviously you're not doing something that will cause your kid permanent hurt. That would be, you know, any parent who's even unsaved parent knows that would be terrible. You're not doing something that's going to, you know, make him a cripple. But beat him with a rod sounds like this is going to be painful. And it, a spanking is supposed to, you want it to be so that the temporary pleasure from sin is less than the pain that comes from the punishment of getting the spanking. If the sin is still pretty good and kind of worth it, then that's not helping your kid. You want it to be so that this is actually not a pleasant thing. And you know, God has given you a nice thing to sit on, and when you sit on it, you can hit it pretty hard, and it won't do any permanent damage to you. What a blessing it is that God gave you that. So you can actually beat him with a rod, and you can apply discipline in a right way, and there's a promise that he will not die when you smite him with a rod. Now, so here again, you can see that it's also the parent's responsibility. Parents, withhold not correction from their own children, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. Take a look also at Proverbs 29 and verse 17. Proverbs 29 and verse 17. Here again, we can see it's the parent's responsibility. Number of times. So those two texts show it's parent responsibility. I also talked about some other things, but you can see it's the responsibility of the parents. Proverbs 29:17. Correct thy son, another command, not option, not if you feel like it, command. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. So here again, you can see it's the parent's responsibility. You parents, correct your son, and as a result of that, he will give you rest in the long term. In the short term, it may not be very fun. But in the long term, he will give you rest and delight to your soul when you actually obey what this passage says. So it may not be restful right then, but it's certain to be restful in the long run. Now, as long as you do it, while there is hope, as long as you're obeying Scripture here, it will work because this is what God says. To say, well, you know, with my kid, spanking doesn't work. Instead, what works is giving him a timeout. What works is something else that's not in the Bible. That works. Spanking doesn't work. Well, I think we should go with what God says, not with just our own ideas. God knows how to, God gave you the children. He knows best how to raise them. And if this is what he says to do, we know this is going to work. It doesn't say there, it works except for this category of people over here where it's an exception. And for those people, doing something not in the Bible is better for those people. That's not a biblical way of thinking. We have to go with what the Bible says. It works because it's in God's Word. And it doesn't say some kids, it doesn't work and you should do something else not in the Bible. Some psychological or who knows what, do something else. No, it says here, if you correct your son, he will give you rest and delight unto your soul. So that's what God's Word says. Now, we can see that the responsibility of training children belongs to the parents here. And you can see that also, we read a lot of those verses, Proverbs 19:18, 23:13, 29:17. Now, it belongs to the parents. In a particular way, it belongs to the fathers. If you look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, Ephesians 6, 4, the Bible says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." So in a particular way, there's a commandment to the fathers. Fathers, bring up, nourish up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Don't provoke them to wrath. Don't, by being inconsistent. Being inconsistent in your life, by being inconsistent in administering spanking, by whatever sins in your life, don't provoke them to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So, you know, if dad is at work and mom is at home and the child sins, then it's certainly appropriate for mom to spank. I'm not saying, now maybe if dad's coming home soon, you might say maybe wait till dad comes home. But if dad's going to be gone for a while, mom, you should probably, you know, take care of this before the kid forgets what even happened. Okay? But if mom and dad are both in the home and they're both there and they see and the child sins, it shouldn't be that dad sits on the couch and eats potato chips and watches TV while mom has to administer the discipline. Dads, you in a particular way are commanded to do this. So you need to be the spiritual leader and taking an initiative and administering and spanking your children biblically. Fathers, don't provoke them to wrath, bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Dads, take the leadership in this. Say, we are going to obey God because we love our kids. Because we love God, we're going to obey this. And we're going to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord so they will give us delight and rest instead of grief in the long term. So dads, take the initiative in this. Obey Scripture. Go ahead and lead in practicing what the Bible says. Now, so it's the parents, especially the fathers. Now, the church is ordained to propagate the truth and preserve the truth, and that's a wonderful thing. But it's not the church's role to train up your children in the way they should go. That's your role as a parent. We can equip you as a church by, you know, admonishing you, by preaching the word, by teaching you, by equipping you, but the church can't raise your kids for you, okay? The Christian school can't raise your kids for you. Grandpa and grandpa can help. Praise God for that. But it's not their responsibility to raise your children. It's you fathers, you mothers, to raise up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You are the ones who are responsible to do the spanking. Now, there can be a situation where another trusted adult can be given the authority by the parents to spank their children. You know, let's say the kids are at, you know, grandpa's house for a week or something. Well, if the kids know while they're at grandpa's house, no one will spank them for the whole week, that's going to encourage them to break some boundaries. It's going to encourage them to disobey because they think that they're going to get away with it. All right? And maybe even the fact that a week from now, something, maybe dad will come home and take care of it, that's still a long time if you're a little kid. You know, a week is just, you can't think that far ahead. All right? So there can be situations where parents can give the authority to spank to somebody else. That's appropriate. You could see in Galatians 3 where it mentions that the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. The schoolmaster had certain responsibilities. When the guy was with the schoolmaster, while the kids were there, could actually administer physical punishment. So there can be a situation where somebody besides the parents does it. But while that can happen, it's the parents' responsibility. It's not someone else's responsibility, but you fathers, you mothers, especially you fathers, have this command to raise up your children, train them up in the way they should go, and to administer physical discipline to them. Now, what are some consequences of this? Take a look at Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 30. What are the consequences of spanking? What happens when you spank in a biblical way? What does God say? Proverbs 20 and verse 30 says, "The blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil, so do stripes the inward parts of the belly." All right? So the blueness of the wound, the Bible says, cleanseth away evil. You can see here again, now the word blueness, here it's translated stripe. It's sometimes translated bruises, sometimes translated wounds. Now, it's used of the mark left from a whip. It's translated wound or stroke. Sometimes even translated plague or slaughter. Now, obviously, you know, don't get me wrong. You're not, the last thing from your mind would be cause real harm to your child. You don't want that. We're totally against that, you know, 100% against that. But you can see here that a biblical spanking can at times leave a mark. That actually can happen. There can be blueness as a result of a biblical spanking. And the blueness isn't, you know, on his head or on his neck, you know, but there can be blueness. Maybe a little hard to sit down for a little while after administering a biblical spanking. That can happen. The Bible says this. Let's not be we're not ashamed of it. We believe what it says. And it says the blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil. So we're for that, because that's what the Bible says. And now, obviously, like I said, this is within reason. But it needs to actually hurt, needs to be worse than the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, it says the blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil. The word cleanseth has the understanding of scouring like a detergent. There again, if you're scouring a pot, you know, it can the surface of the pot maybe can get scraped a little bit. But the problem, the evil isn't the spanking. The evil is actually the sin, and the spanking is the consequence. So if you want to cleanse away, you want to scourge away that evil, then the blueness of the wound is the way to do it. So the Bible says. when a child sins, and he breaks God's law, he's going to have some guilt inside, all right? And now the ultimate way guilt is removed is by getting saved. But there is a kind of temporal removal of guilt as a result of spanking. Sometimes people say, where the world says, you know, if you spank, the child won't know how to be adjusted into society. He won't know what to do. He'll be, you know, all messed up. But actually, spanking him helps cleanse him from the evil. So, you know, you actually, the child sins and he doesn't get spanked. He just, it's ignored. Well, that doesn't actually help him to have the guilt taken care of. You actually spank, it's done, it's over, you reaffirm your love for him, and then it's over, and you get to go on with life, and it's taken care of, it's behind you, all right? It's all done, over, praise God, you keep going. And by the way, after spanking, you do want to reaffirm your affection for your child. You don't want the child to be, you know, under this cloud for 2 months. It's done, it's over, now we go on, and we love you, and we're going to go on from here. And it's all done, taken care of, praise God for that, all right? So, but the blueness and there's cleansing. There's cleansing from the evil through the spanking. And, so we can see biblically that this cleansing your child in this way is actually a loving thing. Take a look at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. When you spank, you're actually being like God. Because God does this with his children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as the Father, the Son, in whom he delighteth. And this is quoted in Hebrews chapter 12. Look over at Hebrews chapter 12. This is the perspective you want to have towards spanking. I am being like the Lord, like God the Father when I'm spanking my child. I'm showing love for him when I'm doing this, because I'm helping evil to be cleansed from him. And this is what we want. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 and following, says, And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. He gives, scourging is an even term for whipping. He gives him a whipping. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? Obviously, fathers chasten their sons. Now today, it wouldn't be that obvious, but it was in the Bible times. And it's right. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all true sons are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. You're not a true son if you don't give this chastisement. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So remember that. Seems grievous at the time, but it brings the peaceable fruit of righteousness as a result. So you can see here that when you actually administer discipline, you're being like God. You're being like God the Father and his love for his children. And if you don't spank, you're actually not treating your son like he's really your son. You're treating him like he's not your real son. And that certainly is not a good thing. Now, if you go back to Proverbs 22 and verse 15, so what are some results here? One result there was mentioned in Hebrews, peaceable fruit of righteousness is a result of spanking. Another result of spanking is in Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 15 gives another result of biblically administering discipline to your children. Proverbs 22 verse 15 says, Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. So foolishness or perverseness is bound up in the child. Why? Because he was born a sinner from Adam. He sinned in Adam, and he has a sin nature. And so that foolishness is bound up in there. And you need to actually do something to get it out. Now, praise God, he's given us a way to get it out. But if you just leave him alone, it's not going to get out. You need to do something to get it out. Well, what is the thing that can drive it away? Well, the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. So a result of spanking is the rod is foolishness is made far away from him. The consistently spanked child will be separated from perverseness or foolishness. While the one who isn't, the foolishness will stay bound up in there. And you're doing a great disservice to your child by letting it stay. Proverbs 23, 13 to 16. We discussed verse 13 already, but here look over this passage, the result of spanking. Proverbs 23, 13 to 16. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with a rod, and shalt deliver his soul from hell. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine, yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. So here, we already talked about verse 13, that he won't die. in verse 14, you can see a result of spanking is you'll deliver a soul from hell. It will actually contribute to the child getting saved when you actually beat him with a rod. The other, only other text, the text that's similar with the word deliver and hell to this verse is Psalm 86:13, where David says, "For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell." So they're delivered from hell. Here you will deliver his soul from hell. So this isn't just talking about the grave. This is talking about hell. And when you actually administer discipline, you're helping for your child to get delivered from hell. Do you want your child to go to hell? Certainly not. God forbid. Who would want that for his child? Well, then administer biblical discipline, and you'll deliver his soul from hell. What a great blessing that is. What a great responsibility. How serious it is that this needs to be done. Now, your child needs to be delivered because he's born in sin. You need to actually do this to help contribute towards him getting saved, because he needs to be delivered. He needs to be getting saved and following the Lord. And so you can deliver him from hell and make it so that in verses 14 to 15, he's wise. He's speaking right things. These contribute to him. These are connected with practicing corporal punishment. Galatians 3:24 says the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, though we might be justified by faith. Now, when you spank a child, you're holding him up to the standard of God's law. He sees, I'm a sinner. I've broken God's law, and I need salvation because I do these things that are wrong. I'm sinning against God. So spanking shows him how he falls short of God's requirement of perfection. And consistent discipline helps to turn the child towards placing his faith in the Lord to be saved from his sin. So you can help save his soul from hell by discipline. And notice it also says in verse 13 that he won't die. If thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Now, there I think it's talking about spiritual death. He won't suffer spiritual death. But also, it contributes towards him living a long life too. Remember that honor thy father and mother is the first commandment with promise. For it makes you live long on the earth. A child that is consistently disciplined is taught to respect authority. He's not going to want to join the gang and go out and get killed when he's 21 years old. He fears and respects authority. He learns how to act in a right way, and it contributes towards him having a long life. So, do you want your child to not go to hell? Do you want your child to have a long life? Well, certainly you do. Well, then, administer biblical discipline, and it will result in these things. It will contribute towards him having a long life. Also, here, two quick results here. In Proverbs 23:13-16, you also see that wisdom is connected with the proper use of the rod. It leads to him being wise. Take a look also at Proverbs 29 and verse 15. Proverbs 29 and verse 15. In Proverbs 29:15, the Bible says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." So if you want your child to be wise, use the rod and reproof. You don't just use the rod, you use reproof too. If he doesn't know why he's getting spanked, well, there's a problem. He needs to know why. You did this, this is why you're getting spanked. And then you administer the discipline. But you also don't just use reproof. If you just use reproof, instead of wisdom, he's going to turn you off. Tick! You know? Oh, I told you this 25 times. Yeah, I don't care. Nothing's happening to me. Okay? You don't just use the rod, you don't just use reproof. You use both of them together, and the result is wisdom. You only use one, or you don't use either, the result is not wisdom. So the rod and reproof together result in wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Now this is a very serious thing. All you need to do to have a child that brings his mother to shame is just leave him alone. Don't spank him, let him do what he wants. And now God might be merciful to you, and he might turn out right anyway, but there's a grave danger that he could bring his mother to shame if you just leave him to himself and don't administer what the Bible says. The child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Now, the idea of leaving, he already has that foolishness in him, bound up. And so all you have to do to reap a bad result is just leave him alone. Leave him to himself. Now, this includes spanking, but it would also show the importance of spending time and being with your children. The leaving to himself is found in other texts. It's translated sent away, cast out, forsaken, put away. So you're not supposed to forsake or cast out or not be with your kids. You're supposed to not leave them to themselves. You know, if you want to have a good relationship with your children, you want your son to give you your heart, you want your child to actually come to you when there's something important, you're going to have to be with them. You're going to have to spend time with them. All right? If the Now, I'm very thankful for our daycare, but if you're, you know, but we want the unsaved parents who are teaching their kids wicked stuff to be the ones that are basically, you know, doing that kind of thing. We want our people to actually be raising their own kids, you know, not having the daycare raise their kids, all right? Or if your kid loves the babysitter more than you or something like that, there's a problem with that, all right? So you don't leave your children to themselves. The Proverbs 31 lady could do different work and things, but Titus 2:5 does say keepers at home, all right? So now it's not, for example, Christian school isn't wrong. You have the schoolmaster. But nevertheless, you need to spend time with your children. Don't leave them to themselves, but instead train them up in the way they shall go, and then they won't depart from it. So you don't leave them to themselves. Now, a third result, very quickly, is pleasure. We saw already that the soul, when you raise your children the right way, they're going to be a delight to you. They're going to be a treasure to you. There might be some turmoil when you spank, but in the long term, there's pleasure. So three results. Spanking results in when you spank, it results in purity. It results in them seeing the evil of sin. It results in prudence or wisdom and pleasure. So spanking results in purity, prudence, and pleasure for your son. So what does that mean you should do? Well, God has given these promises for biblical child rearing. So you can take them and you can put them in practice by faith. That's what God wants you to do. And we can see also that spanking is not optional. If you don't spank your child, or you spank him only when he bothers you, not when he disobeys Scripture, then you're not honoring the Lord. And you need to change that. You need to repent of that and start obeying what Scripture says. We can see the responsibility is placed on the parents and especially on the father. All right. One thing we can see with that too is, now right now we don't have spanking in our Christian school. But that doesn't mean, parents, that you shouldn't spank your children if they disobey at school. When I taught in the Christian school in California out there, we actually had spanking in the school too. But the kids now I can think of a whole bunch of kids that are living for the Lord, doing what is right, who went to the school, and a lot of the times it was, if the teacher ever said anything to the parents that was negative, the kid knew he was going to get it. So he was paying attention to school. He was respectful. He was honorable because he knew that the parents were backing up the teacher and that the parents would actually enforce what was required in the classroom so that that there was discipline administered. All right. So the teacher and the church aren't the ones that are responsible, but you're responsible for when your child sins to spank him, even if he's at school. Now, you can't disobey Scripture because you're afraid of the government either. Okay. Now, one, spanking is perfectly legal. But two, you know, if we're afraid of the government now, what's going to happen when there's real persecution? Okay. What's going to happen if we were in a situation over 90%, you know, the vast majority of church history where we had way less freedom than we have now? So you can't, if you're afraid of the government now, I mean, what's going to happen when there's actually, you know, real trouble? Okay. So you need to just obey God, fear him, and don't fear man. Don't get faint-hearted with your spanking, but keep your eyes on the purity, the promises of God, and trust in him. And Lord will bless you for that. You'll be able to, in the long term, you'll be able to see, praise God for his mercy, and these children of mine are giving me rest to my soul. They're serving the Lord. They're honoring God. And that's what will happen when you put in practice what the Bible says. There's more we could say about it, but we're out of time, so we're going to close in prayer. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for Proverbs 22:6 and what it promises if we train up a child in the way that he should go. I pray that you would strengthen the parents of our church here, that they would obey what the Bible says, that they would discipline their children, that fathers especially would take the lead and would obey what Scripture says. And Father, we want to see a generation in the future, if Jesus doesn't come back yet, we want to see children that are pure, children that are giving pleasure to their parents in righteousness, children that are full of wisdom and prudence. And I pray that you would strengthen the parents of our church to live by faith, trust in you and honor you, and biblically spank their children. And we pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen. All right.